Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me today is Dr. Rose Gamblin. And we're going to be talking about something that is one of the hot topics of education in America today. As a matter of fact, it seems to be pretty hot when it goes anywhere in the world. And that's the idea of STEM. So, Dr. Gamblin, STEM I know is an acronym. Can you identify what the elements of STEM are? Can you tell me what it stands for?
Well, it stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And traditionally, those four subjects were taught separately. But in a true STEM program, they're integrated with each other. In fact, technology really helps in all of the... Technology is kind of the glue for the science, engineering, and math. At least that's from my perspective.
Well, how about taking us on a tour of how this looks? The integration idea is something that's interesting because typically in school we don't integrate a whole lot. You know, we teach reading, writing, arithmetic, and they're all in their separate areas, and about the closest we get to integrating is story problems between arithmetic and reading. But take us through what it would look like in a school. Give us let's go on a virtual tour.
Okay, well, come with me to South River High. This is a high school with approximately 2,000 students that has decided to do a STEM program. And they've gotten some grants for it. There's quite a bit of money out there for STEM. And they started by just randomly selecting 400 students to be in the STEM program. So when you come into the STEM program your freshman year or invited into it, then you're committed. You cannot, unless you pull yourself out, you're in that STEM program for all 4 years, which I thought was an interesting way. We often think of STEM as, you know, for the smart, brainiac students, and they have to score high enough. But this particular high school decided that they would just pick a name out of a hat of a student that they knew that was entering the freshman year, and then they would invite that student to join the STEM program. The student at that point then had the option of either saying, no, I just want to do traditional high school, or yes. And so we went into this big high school and we started visiting the classes. Now, the classes have more unique names. They're not just science or, you know, they have names that sound more, oh, I'm trying to think of a good example, like the biology of chemistry or the, you know, the ethics of research, those kinds of things. And so I'm thinking, okay, in a small situation or in a small school, I might have a, you know, I'm still thinking about how I can apply what everything that I am learning on this audio tour of this high school for STEM. So we walk into this one room and they are actually doing research that has been published. So by the time they're a junior, they're actually published in science research on things that they have discovered. They're working with cells and stem cells. I mean, they have connected with Johns Hopkins University and some of these other big universities to really give these students hands-on experience. And from there, then I went to the English department, and the STEM students there were learning how to write the research up that they had done over in the science. And then I went to another room where they had 3D printers, And this particular line of students were building drones and were connected with a company that builds drones. And the person from that company had actually come for a whole year, twice a week, and taught the instructors how to teach the students about building drones. And then I went to a math room. And in the math room, the STEM students were learning about aerodynamics, and they were learning the math that goes with programming their drones. And then when, so you can see how it begins to all connect. And then I went into a computer lab where there was quite a few computers set up. And those that were on this track where their project was the drones, they were learning they had flight simulators, and they had all kinds of, they had routes that they had to do and program. And then another group that was part of the research, they were learning coding. And so it all was connecting together. Now, we had an opportunity to stop and just, it was kind of mind-boggling, but we had an opportunity to interview some of the students. And the fascinating thing about these students is that the poise, being able to express oneself was very evident. Even though I said, did they have a class for that? But they didn't have a class for that. But they just became very courageous, very excited about what they were doing. And with that came a sense of accomplishment, I guess. They talked about how coming into the program, they had just gotten in middle school, they hadn't done very well in middle school. They didn't really care about their grades. They, were just goof-offs. And then coming into the program, how hard it was. It was so hard for them because they really hadn't applied themselves in middle school to have the skills needed to be in a STEM program. The requirement for writing and the studying and getting up to speed on their math, just they had goofed off, and they were the first to admit it. And then how far, how they saw their tests, their standardized test scores, because those 400 students are tested right along with the other students as far as here it's the Maryland State the Maryland Assessment Program, but in other schools, it would be whatever standardized tests they're doing. But these students had increased exponentially on their test scores, even though not one single class was being taught for the test. They were all connected to real-life projects that industries had come in to help set up. And, so I think that particular school was a great eye-opener for me. It affirmed what I already knew, and that is if I can challenge students to learn things that are connected to real-life projects, that they will push through. They will go beyond what they would normally do, if you give them a worksheet with a bunch of math problems on it.
We have to take a break right now, but I would like to carry this on and say, how do we take and apply this then into a small school? Because it sounds to me like this school had a nice connection with some places that smaller schools wouldn't necessarily have that connection. So when we come back, we'll unpack some of the principles behind STEM.
You You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Hi, I'm Joy Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. In the movie The Soloist, Robert Downey Jr. portrays a journalist who reaches out to a homeless man who used to study cello at the Juilliard School of Music. The homeless man struggles with bouts of schizophrenia, but when he sits down to play the cello, his ability is beyond even the principal cellist of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. Though inconvenient and often uncomfortable, the veil of prejudice falls from the eyes of Robert Downey's character, and he is able to see and learn in new ways. Is there someone today through whom you could learn the true meaning of having a relationship? Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me is Dr. Rose Gamblin. And we are talking about STEM education. Now, we've just gone on a virtual tour of a STEM program that was in a large high school. How can we take the principles, or can we identify some principles that can actually be applicable to a smaller school that is not as well endowed?
Well, thank you. You know, I appreciate thinking outside of the box. I think that what is happening with STEM is going to forever have a mark on education. We're going to start doing things differently. For one thing, when you look at it, it really is project learning. You're taking a project, and there's not an answer key. I mean, many times the teachers would say, "We had a project and we didn't know what the answer was going to be." And the students even would say, "Well, I can see why you want to be a STEM teacher because you don't have to do all the work." But they didn't realize that behind the scenes, that STEM teacher, whether it was in the math department or the English department, they were spending hours collaborating with the other teachers. Well, I think that in a small school, you have the advantage because you don't have quite so, you know, you don't have the bureaucracy to work through. You don't have to spend the hours in meetings with other teachers trying to see how you're going to work this out. Many times it's me, myself, and I, and a parent probably feels the same way. You know, me, myself, and I can have a committee of one, but the advantage is that you can easily make a decision on how you're going to proceed to integrate science, technology, engineering, and math. How you are going to integrate it. And you can go on Pinterest. You can go on so many websites. Just Google STEM lesson plans. And they're just becoming very accessible on the internet. And you can start really helping your child have a STEM education. We actually believe now that STEM needs to start in early childhood. And so the first thing that I did at my school was to analyze what we are already doing that it could be considered STEM. And that's a fun thing to do. You can even look around your house. You have a game of Jenga. Jenga, there are a lot of principles being applied there. You stack up the blocks and then you start taking them out one by one, studying the weight load and that kind of thing. Well, on a early childhood basis, you know, that's about the stacking up would be about as far as you would get before they would want to knock them down.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it would be a challenge for a young child just to stack them up so they stayed stacked up.
Yes.
So they would learn some things there. It seems to me that one of the things that's a principle in this is the concept of getting meaning out of knowledge.
Yes. That's huge. So many times, and I'm still in the early childhood, you know, because analyzing it, we realized we had all these tiles, different geometrically shaped tiles, different colored tiles, and we would let them play with them and make, you know, patterns because we knew that was laying a foundation for math. Well, that is a STEM. That's totally a STEM because you have already your math, your engineering, and it's even STEAM because you can make some very artistic tiles. And then jumping ahead to a high school situation, now we recognize, you know, origami and tiles, all of those things can be applied to space, spatial, you know, a necessity for space, things that can fold and then open up again, especially if you're taking them out into outer space. And there's been quite a few interesting studies done on how that tessellation and origami fits right in with engineering. But anyway, so the first thing I would do as a family is I would analyze what in my home already can be used as a STEM educational piece, from your blocks, your Legos, your Kinects, your different types of games that you have. And then you need to take it a step farther. You need to see how you can help that child expand their knowledge and connect it both to real life and to, you know, to the skill of problem solving. That in itself is an important skill. It's just being able to solve a problem.
You know, it sounds to me like if you applied the STEM concept to the holistic education process that you're doing with your child, whether it's Bible or English or math or science or, you know, all of the topics in an integrative way, that you could use the STEM principles to create meaning in all of those that you wouldn't get otherwise. Because, for instance, learning a 5-paragraph essay, big deal. Why should they only be learning a 5-paragraph essay in English? Doesn't that 5-paragraph essay apply in reporting something in the sciences?
It does, because, I mean, you have to come up with a thesis statement. It's preparing you for that research paper that, you know, where you've actually done some research. And I think of, you know, we both have terminal degrees, but I certainly was not equipped for the rigor of the research and the writing of it. It took me a long time because I hadn't started at a young age learning how to even write a 5-paragraph essay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can start with younger kids on a 3-paragraph essay so that they begin to develop the discipline of orderly thought when they're writing something down. And it sounds to me, you know, like you could use this in just about any of the classes, but for instance, say in English. Why would you take English and say, okay, we're only going to do 5-paragraph essays here in English? Why wouldn't the English teacher then want to say, okay, you will turn in a 5-paragraph essay to me, but you're going to turn it in on a report that is due for science?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the student having to write a 5-paragraph essay on something that was not that valuable to them, they could write that 5-paragraph essay on another class that they were actually taking.
Yes, and I know that the educational system is not really, they're assuming in this STEM program, they're assuming that, you know, the student will still take English and the student will still, in our case, take a Bible. And I asked about, you know, as we're traveling through, I asked about STEAM, you know, arts, the arts, because I could see students that were, you know, carrying instruments, and I could see in all the displays along the wall that there was student art being displayed. And I also could see, like, with the 3D, in when I went into the room with the 3D printers, there were some art items that were also, you know, being created. And, you know, the person touring with us said, well, everything we do almost has an artistic or an aesthetic component to it. So it's there. It's just, you know, our program, our grant writing and everything, we had to narrow it just to STEM. But STEAM is definitely, you know, the next level is STEAM.
Yeah, that will be an interesting program that we should do next time or in the near future on STEAM, because the arts have an effect on the brain that none of the other sciences or other classes that a person takes has. And it's very important. So it's something that's worth discussing.
Yes. And, you know, you might, as a parent, if you're looking for a traditional school, ask about STEM. Every school has a different criteria for children getting into it, but it's very valuable for your child if they can get into the STEM program. Now, I know in the public school where my daughter teaches, she does a lot of STEM lesson plans. I mean, part of what she does is just a STEM lesson plan. It's a project. It's integrating the science, technology, English, and math all into it. And she has her questions that she's going to ask to help the kids think about it. It has the connection with real life. And she teaches in the fifth grade. Well, it's been a big, huge thing in the county because they really weren't sure how to do STEM. And now they have a teacher there that's actually doing STEM lesson plans. And so they have other teachers coming and observing her and looking at her STEM lesson plans. And, you know, it's just one of those things that as an educator, you're always looking for something that's going to help your students learn better, be excited about learning. And I think anybody who, you know, understands education knows that it goes in waves, you know, the latest thing, and then there's another latest thing, and then there's another latest thing. Right now it's STEM, but tomorrow will probably be STEAM.
Yes.
Well, we're just about to the end of our discussion on our kind of our little virtual tour here of a school that has a STEM program. But we hope that you can glean from it and have questions to ask as you're looking for the best educational solution for your child.
Yes, it's a challenge for parents, but if you can do it, look to develop STEM in your own home, because these kids are coming home with homework. If you can apply that homework to real-life situations for them, they will learn it better. Well, I think this comes to the end of this show, and I want to thank you for being with us, and I only have one thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.